Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Kevin Herr in tow. Back where he belongs, despite poll results that were not favorable.
Yeah, but I said yesterday, you're the one. If everybody doesn't miss you on this show, then we've got a problem.
Oh, they may not.
Yeah, that's when there's a problem. If nobody misses me, that's a good thing.
Okay.
The question at SteveJonesShow.com.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about that? What will you be watching? What will you be watching for?
Me personally?
I think most people are about.
I would think so.
Sure. Yes. And they'll all draw. Now that I was a witness. How'd it go? Well, you know, I mean, they have work to do. So.
Today's a big day for NFL fans. You know that?
Really?
Yeah.
What's today?
Today's when the official schedules come out. 4 o'clock.
And we'll have it for you live?
Oh, well, maybe on a slight delay, but we'll have the schedules.
Okay.
Actually, I think they're waiting. I think they're waiting until 7 o'clock. I thought it was originally.
They're afraid they're going to tell Sean Payton first.
No. He can't have any contact with any member of anything that has the three letters N, F, or L. He can have no contact. So you're not worried about that.
I see.
And by the way, one of his houses is like right next door.
It's on the same beach as Mickey Loomis.
Yeah, that's going to be really kind of awkward. He can't even go, "Hey, neighbor, how you doing?" That's a violation. That ought to be interesting.
He has to report it.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
He has to report it.
Now, what happens if a stray beach ball comes onto his side of the on his line of the property?
Has to report it.
Does somebody have to? Somebody else have to carry it over?
I can't imagine Mickey Loomis playing with a beach ball.
I know, but I'm just using an extreme example.
Well,
and the NFL schedule comes out at 7. I apologize.
It won't be on the show. The big build-up to put it on this show.
I know. But the new Steeler throwback jersey does come out at 4 o'clock today. So, for the 80th anniversary of the team.
80 sterling years.
And the last, there were two discussions of jerseys that would be used. And the one that I heard the most was the one that they used that looked like a rugby jersey from the original 1933 team. They had that maybe about 10 years ago in the... It was called the Grey Poupon Pants, because that's kind of the color it looked like. That was one of the options that has been rumored to come out. And the other one was a uniform that looks similar to, like, the Dark Knight from the Batman series because of the new movie coming out this summer. Their thought was that maybe they would go with that particular type of uniform. So we'll find out this afternoon.
That's terrific.
Breaking news.
Wow. And we had that story.
Oh, we will.
We led the way with that story.
That's right.
Wow.
And you say I don't bring anything to the program.
Did I say that?
Well, not publicly anyway, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, good. I get to wear a golf shirt and slacks on Saturday. Yeah. I sent an email to Dave Joyner and me about what to wear for the Coach O'Brien event.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, no, they have 1,100 tickets already sold for that, you know. 1,100 already.
Oh, I thought you were talking about to the what you were going to wear to the game. See, now there's something you could tweet.
No, that's useless, worthless junk. What I'm wearing, who cares what I'm wearing?
Will you wear a tie?
No. Okay. I haven't worn a tie to a football game in over 10 years.
Well, that's right. You do usually wear a polo now that I think about it.
Yeah. Now, what we used to do on the road was I'd wear a golf shirt during the game, but then in the post game, I'd go change it with jacket and tie because we had to wear that in the plane. That's what I used to do.
Was that part of the team rules?
Yeah, it was the team rule.
Well, it was good of you to follow that. Is that a good example?
Good of me to follow it. That was the rule to be on the plane.
Oh, so that's how you got on the plane. I see. I'm sorry.
I mean, it was a rule that Joe had. You had to wear a jacket and tie on the plane. So, you know, we'd always fly in and have one on. It was no big deal. But during the game, I'd wear a golf shirt. But, I mean, talk about irrelevant. That's irrelevant. And you want me to tweet irrelevant material.
All right. How about if we tweeted this? Bucknell has a new women's basketball coach.
Yes.
Would that be worth a tweet?
Of course it is.
All right.
Well, Daryl Roussel.
Yeah. Aaron was 161-50 at University of Chicago. Not a bad record.
No. Not a bad record at
52-5 with a 43-game regular season winning streak over the last two seasons.
Wow. Terrific. That works out very well.
Do you know the nickname of the University of Chicago?
The University of Chicago nickname?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
The Maroons.
Terrific.
And if it weren't on the piece of paper that I was just reading, I wouldn't have known it either. But I just thought it was an interesting little tidbit of information. Now, when you win lots of money on Jeopardy, because the question was, the topic was University of Chicago, you can thank me for it.
All right. We'll have Coquise Washington comments next half hour, by the way. She'll comment on staying at Penn State. There was a little bit of drama around that because she did at one point talk to Michigan. She's from Flint, Michigan. So she did talk with Michigan at one point. Father still lives there. But in the end, she decided she wanted to stay at Penn State. Now, notice how they did it in a press conference yesterday, Kevin. Notice how they did not get the information out.
No, it was all over. We had tweets all day long about that.
No. Nobody knew what she was going to say.
Oh, no. I meant after the fact that we had tweets on our at Steve Jones PSU Twitter feed. There were tweets all afternoon after that. But you're right. But prior to it, no.
After that. But you want me to go out there and tell everybody I'm wearing a blue golf shirt in the booth. You think that's great Twitter material?
Obviously you do not.
I think it's absurd.
Okay. How can I argue with that?
I mean, I think it's absurd.
How can I argue with
and
that?
And here's the reason I think it's absurd. Who cares? There's too much personal information out there right now. I mean, Facebook, went last night, ate a Cracker Barrel, loved it, had a burger. I don't care.
I guess it has to do with your generation.
Not my generation.
No,
I don't mean your generation.
I mean,
it's one thing for me to sit down and say, hey, I went to dinner. I'll say, hey, where'd you go? I went to Cracker Barrel. Hey, what'd you get? Oh, yeah, blah, blah, you know, face-to-face conversation. It's fine.
But you can't deny the amount of information, albeit some of it misinformation, that is available because of this.
Kevin, we kid around about this all the time, so it's always been a good running joke, right? I can tell you point blank, I get zero information from Facebook and zero information from Twitter. I get all my information myself. I don't need a tweet to tell me what's going on.
But we're not all as well connected as you are.
Okay, but I don't need it.
Why do I feel this was part of your class at some point or another in this semester?
No, the only time I talked to them about this is when we did a segment on talk shows, okay, which is what I'm doing now. And I said, look, don't get your information from message boards, don't get your information from Twitter, and don't get your information from Facebook. Be a good reporter and get your information yourself. All right, get the information yourself. I know why Trey Lewis left. I don't need a tweet to tell me. I know. Right? I know why Peter Alexis left. Right? Know why. I know about the new basketball recruit from Charlestown, Mass. Known about him since July. Right? Don't need a tweet. Now, there's certain things along the way, but... And the same thing with message boards. I don't need a message board to tell me what's going on. I mean, somebody told me there was something on the message board about the fact they didn't have a full scrimmage on Saturday and they only ran 40 to 45 plays. They won 120 plays. Why? I stood there.
What did you see this morning, good or bad?
I'm not going to get into this morning.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into this morning. Players were up late last night. Because of an athletic, the student athlete athletic board had awards last night. It's called SOB. Okay. And so that was an event they had to go to last night. And so it was an early day. They will practice tomorrow. They will practice on Friday. So they're getting there.
Is this one of those weeks that will be similar to maybe the game day week?
Meaning what? I want to know what you mean.
Well, I guess with the amount of practices this particular week compared to previous weeks, it seems like there's more practices this week leading up to the Blue-White game.
Well, there's
than
a
reason.
But there's a reason for that.
Well, and that's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, here's the reason for that. You're allowed to have 15 practices in a 34-day span. For Penn State, the 34 days would go to April 28th, but you have to make a declaration on practices before January 1st as to what your span is going to be. And it's a paperwork thing. And obviously there was nobody around to do paperwork really before January 1st for obvious reasons. All right. So they were really buttonholed into this, the Blue-White game being this Saturday. It started March 26th. And Coach O'Brien decided just to do the coach's clinic and not practice on that day. So they had to make up a practice somewhere. He also did not practice on Easter Saturday. Okay? So they've made up this practice today. That's the extra one. All right? And then the Blue-White game will be the last one. That's why there are more practices this week. So that's why there are more practices. And so. So that gives you at least, and what the paperwork is and what it entails and whatever, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I haven't even filled any paperwork for you. So.
Okay. All right.
In terms of being on this show, I don't even think I'm officially a part of the show.
Just your name.
Actually, I don't think I'm officially part of anything. I just show up every day, turn stuff on, and talk.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, I've been hoping. Yeah.
Well, let's take a couple of seconds here, real quick. We kind of touched on it with Sean Payton now being barred from all NFL contract, and we poked fun at it at the beginning. But literally, he cannot speak to anybody involved in the NFL, and in his world, I would imagine that's most of his friends.
Right. It would be obviously most of his friends. It would be like, for example, they were telling me I could not talk to anybody at WKOK. I mean, they're very similar. I could, you know, if something happens, I'm suspended. And so I'm barred from talking, for example, to you.
And now, I'd have to report everything that was said.
Yes, you would.
Now, does that fall into
now,
the...
Now, my question to you is, right. Is that do you think people are interested in what I would have to tweet?
No, I've already said that. I think so. I think they're more interested than you believe. And I think Sean Payton will be doing a lot of this now because he will have a lot of free time on his hands to tweet whatever he wants because he has nobody else to talk to that is involved in it. I mean, he can't, from what I understand, he can't even talk to his buddy there, Parcells, because he works for ESPN who does NFL games.
Hmm. Wow. This is brutal.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not warranted.
The last time I heard a punishment like this, it involved a very snowy area in northern Russia. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show after this.
If you've got spring fever, Sunbury Motors Kia has the cure. Right now, Sunbury Motors Kia can save you up to $6,500 on 2012 Kia Sedonas. All-wheel drive 2012 Kia Serenos are up to $3,500 off. Tired of paying big bucks at the pump? Get big miles per gallon with a Kia Rio. Up to 45 mpg. Sunbury Motors Kia also has great discounts on Kia Fortes and Souls, which get up to 40 mpg. Lease a new Soul or Rio with zero down for just $229 per month. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year 60,000-mile basic warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, you get an extra set of tires. Sunbury Motors Kia is known as the dealer who gives you more for your trade, which means there's never been a better deal than the Sunbury Motors Kia deal. They always give you what your trade is worth. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. Must qualify for all available rebates. Tax and tags act.
Welcome back to the show. We're from Coquitlam, Washington, the Lady Lion basketball coach after the news at the bottom of the hour. Sean Payton can have no contact at all, thus we're going to invite him on this show.
It's probably the only safe place he can talk.
No, this would be a safe haven. This is our safe haven for Sean Payton. Bring him on the show, be a lot of fun. I have some tape here, Sean. I'd like you to take a little look at it. Here's Drew Brees on this play, this play, and this play. They're playing the Jets this week. What do you think of this, this, and this? And then MP3 at the Drew Brees.
No, that wouldn't necessarily be a violation because he didn't directly talk to him.
No, of course. It would be great. See, we know what we're doing here. You like that, huh? That gets around it.
Gee, I wonder if anybody else has thought of that.
I doubt it. He's that devious. Yeah. You like it?
I do.
Good idea. I know. I had a feeling you would, yeah.
I'm almost positive, though. Somebody in that organization has already come up with that thought.
No, we're not in the organization.
No. But I'm sure somebody's like come up with that idea and tried to throw the idea out to somebody.
Not necessarily. You know, we've found out over the years the things that we think, they obviously must have thought of that, and you find out later, nobody thought of that.
That's scary.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
You know, I just figured out why the NFL is waiting until 7 o'clock to announce the schedule for this year. I'll give you two guesses.
Well, for one thing, it's 4 o'clock Pacific time.
What's the real reason?
So they can have it live on ESPN.
I was thinking NFL Network, but yes, we're along the same line.
NFL Network, yep. Same thing, yeah. The Sarah Bartlett, who refused to come on the show yesterday to defend Kevin, will be here with the news in just a few moments. Here on WKOK. I'll see you on the team May 9th with WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, that's me. And that means I have to go back to work on this Tuesday afternoon. Kevin Herr unquestionably in tow. He's back in the groove, swing of things. It's almost like he wasn't even gone a week. Claims by some far-fetched thing that would be more noticeable if I wasn't here. I disagree. You could say hi now.
Okay, I just wondered. I mean, I just was waiting for the opportunity. Thanks.
Waiting for the opportunity?
Yeah.
To do what?
Just to say hi.
To say hi?
Yeah, I was waiting and waiting for you to lead into your big interview.
Well, this is from yesterday's press conference. Coquise Washington. Of course, there was panic across the land when they saw her name was no longer on the manifest for the speaking engagements coming up. I'd like to point out today her name is back on the manifest for the speaking engagements coming up. But yesterday, she had her opportunity to talk about her reasons and her decision to stay at Penn State and why she wants to stay at Penn State, even though there were overtures for Michigan.
Thank you, Dave.
All right.
I normally don't give an open statement, so this is different territory for me, but there are definitely some things that I wanted to share prior to taking questions. And, you know, as you guys know, over there's been some interest from other universities with regard to me and their women's basketball head coach position. But what many of you may not know and may not be aware of is that Dave and I have been talking well before those calls came about my future here at Penn State. And so, you know, I love it here, Penn State. I really do. I really love being at Penn State. I love what my life is like here. I love what my family's life is like here. This is a tremendous community to raise a family in. And the decision to stay here at Penn State for me was, you know, it was really a simple one. It was really simple when I think about, you know, when I look in the back of that room and I see those players' faces, they are fantastic, tremendous women, young women, and representatives of this university. And what they have helped this program accomplish in the past 5 years is remarkable. It is really remarkable. And the opportunity to be with them, to work with them, and to continue to elevate this program is something that I could not and would not walk away from. I came here 5 years ago in large part because of some things that I think are unique to Penn State. The marriage of academic and athletic success, but probably more importantly, the community, the family, the commitment to service. Those ideals in the past 5 years have done nothing but grown in me. And when I think about what my future is and what I want my future to be about, I want my future to be about being around people who embrace those ideals in a strong way. And that's what Penn State has shown me in the past 5 years. Certainly we have some challenges ahead of us, but when I look at the leadership, you know, President Erickson and Dave Joyner and the administration, both the academic administration, the athletic administration, the people here have a commitment and a vision and a direction for the growth of this program that is inspiring and energizing for me. And I want to be around people like that. Somebody who I respect very well told me that you don't run away from fires. You have the courage to run into the fire and make a difference. And I want to be at Penn State and help make a difference. I want to be around people that want that same vision and continue to work to grow Penn State and continuing to work to be excellent is just inspiring to me. And so all the speculation and all the things that were going on the past week did nothing more than to make me realize how privileged I am and how blessed I am to be at Penn State University at this time, at this moment. And I want to be here at this time and at this moment to continue the work that all the fantastic people that are part of Penn State are doing. I'm blessed to have this opportunity, and I look forward to continuing to do the work that we have to do. So that's what I have to say. And
thank you.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for the clap. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Please, were there any doubts as to your status at this university during the negotiations with Penn State? And if so, why did you decide to interview Michigan?
There were no doubts for me at all. But certainly, you know, Michigan is it's an outstanding academic and athletic institution. And it is, you know, in my home state, 45 minutes from my dad's house. But again, home is where your heart is. And my heart is here at Penn State. And there's a direct flight from Detroit to State College. So my dad can come to our home. My family's home anytime he wants.
I guess, why did you decide to go ahead and put the speculation to rest?
Because I didn't want it to become a distraction for the program, for the university. And also, you know, it's been interesting because I've received just a tremendous amount of support from people over these past few days, from alums and faculty and staff and fans and in the community. And I wanted them to understand and to know that I'm committed to the Penn State family, and I'm committed to being here, and I want to be here, and I'm their coach. And I didn't want this to be something that, you know, people would continually question where my loyalty and where my commitment is. My commitment is to Penn State, and that's it.
Coach, you've been able to build this program up, improving every single year from out of the tournament to Sweet 16. How important is it for you to be here and to see that through?
It's very important. It's very important. I look at those young ladies in the back of the room, and they came here to put this program on an elite level. That was their focus. And they came here on faith, and we talk about that. They at the time when I was in their living rooms recruiting them, they didn't have any reason to believe that Penn State could be a program that could be ranked in the top 10 in the country. No reason whatsoever. But they came here on faith. They had faith in themselves. They had faith in each other, their future teammates. They had faith in this university, that the university would provide the support and the leadership and the comfort that they would need to elevate themselves to greatness. Mm-hmm. They believe that. And I believe that. That's why I came here. I believe that we could do that. And together we're gonna work to finish it out. Together we're gonna do that.
Coquise here in the back. Sometimes when you explore other opportunities, it gives you maybe a look to see how other people are doing things. When you went to Michigan, What has that taught you? Has it restored your faith as to you are in the right place? Can you talk about that process a little bit, and maybe that it taught you that maybe I'm okay here?
Absolutely. It definitely reinforced for me and this is no slight to Michigan or any other program, but it reinforced for me that Penn State is the perfect place for me. It's the perfect place for me because of the values and the goals and the vision and the leadership that's in place here. It's a wonderful marriage for me. And, you know, as Dave said earlier, it's not about the money. It's about being in a place where you feel like you can grow as a human being and become the best that you can be as a person. And I feel strongly that this Penn State is that place for me. I think I can become a better mom because of being at Penn State. I can become a better wife because I'm here at Penn State. I certainly will become a better coach because of the people I'm surrounded by here at Penn State. So it's just the best place for me to grow and become the person that I want to be, both on the court as a professional person and as a human being.
That's Coquise Washington at yesterday's press conference, and she's made her decision that no more overtures from other schools. She wants to stay at Penn State, committed to being the Lady Lion basketball coach. She's done a great job with the program. You can see it by the continual progress that Penn State has made since she's been the head coach. WNIT 2 years ago, second round of the NCAAs a year ago, Sweet 16 this year, and a Big Ten championship. Program headed in the right direction, and a lot of people are very, very happy that she's made a decision that she wants to stay here and has rejected overtures from the University of Michigan. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this. Oh, what a feeling to be working with Kevin Herr. What?
It's Blue White Week. Everybody's excited this week.
I understand. But I just want to make sure, you know, I include your name in there.
I appreciate
that. You get a little touchy sometimes. A little touchy.
Feel the love. Feel the love.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
So did you read the message I sent you about Johnny Damon?
Yeah, it's okay. It's, yeah. Here, I'll read exactly what
Kevin
typed.
Why don't you go ahead and
Kevin
talk about
typed.
It then?
Okay. Johnny Damon's long stint on the free agent market has officially come to an end. The outfielder's minor league deal with the Indians is complete, the team announced. Damon will earn $1.25 million in salary, plus another possible $1.4 million in bonuses.
That's not the big deal there. The big deal is in the
John
second
Heyman
paragraph.
Of CBS Sports reports via Twitter.
Not that.
The deal will include a full no-trade clause and allow Damon to explore other opportunities should he lose playing time once Grady Sizemore returns. Sizemore's out 8 to 12 weeks with a back injury.
That, to me, is the part of this deal that really was surprising. No-trade clause. And if you lose playing time and you find another deal, we'll work something out.
Yeah. Well, it's...
That's a pretty sweet deal.
That's a very sweet deal. He did well. He did very well. And I think it's a big plus. And I think that he will, it'll work out well for him. And Damon will help him. I mean, Damon's a professional hitter, professional outfielder. He will do well with all of this. So that will not be an issue. And he'll help the Cleveland Indians. He'll help anybody he goes to. Like I say, he's a professional hitter. He was Grady Sizemore before Grady Sizemore. How about that?
I liked that. That was good.
He was Grady Sizemore before Grady Sizemore. So he is going to be a Cleveland Indian. Kevin is excited because he did not want to talk at all about the Charlie Batch 1-year contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, I'm fine with that. I mean, he's been on a one-year contract with the Steelers since pretty much day one with the Steelers.
I don't even have a contract. I just show up every day. I have no deal. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
No, I'm working here without a net, man.
So you got a Johnny Damon deal.
Yeah, I'm working without a net. How do you like that? You seem to feel secure in that.
I have no feeling on that.
You have no feeling at all? None?
I have no feeling on that.
Why not?
I have no feeling on that.
Well, I want to open up the phone lines and get to it here with your poll question. Is an excellent poll question today.
Thank you.
It's an excellent poll question. What will you be looking for in the blue-white game on Saturday? Quarterbacks, offensive line, or will you be like Kevin and just look at the Coach O'Brien? What? Or something else? In other words, what would Jack be wearing?
If you weren't doing the game, what would you be looking at?
Well, I think, first of all, the quarterbacks. I think that's the most intriguing part of the whole thing is quarterbacks, I would think. Then the next would probably be the offensive line. Then after that would be the secondary. That's what I'd be looking for. Quarterbacks, offensive line, secondary. They have receivers. They have, you know, they have receivers that can make some plays. They have linebackers that can make plays. Defensive linemen that can make plays. Probably how they utilize the tight ends. I'd probably be looking for that. Yeah, that would be something that I would take a look at. Things like that. I mean, those are some of the things that I would take a long, hard look at. Yeah. Watching Coach O'Brien? No, I don't think so. Why did you put that on there?
Well, I know a lot of people are going to be watching the way he does things just because it's a new coach. Nobody's seen anybody do anything different at Penn State from a head coaching standpoint in some lifetimes.
You know what's interesting is that people say, did you see Joe do that? I never watched him on the sidelines. And that doesn't mean people shouldn't. I was like, but yeah, there would be people who tell me things after the game. You should have seen it. I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't see it. So, I mean, that's what I would always laugh after. Yeah, I think, I guess I missed that completely. that's what I'll look for. I mean, that is what I'll look for on Saturday. And I think that, you know, I think you have to start with the quarterbacks. And I think it's something that that's, look, one of the things that you have to have in all this, let's bottom line, there are a lot of things that people, you know, when you hear people talk about quarterbacks, they talk about footwork and they talk about arm strength, right? Right?
I agree.
Right. And I don't think that's quite what they're looking for here. I think it's important. It's part of it. But I'm not so sure that that is I'm not so sure that's all of it. I really don't. I think that one of the biggest things that they need is trust between the quarterback and the head coach. That he has to trust that they're going to get them into the right formation, get them into the right play, check into a play that they need. I think that's actually one of the bigger things going in this whole thing. It's actually going to be stuff like that. Just my opinion. And when I look at it, I think that's going to be one of the big things. Which guy has the best handle on what they want to do, and which guy Bill O'Brien is going to trust when the money's on the table? How about that one?
Well, let me ask you this. How much more will you be able to see, both, you know, as a coach or somebody watching the quarterbacks in those game situations that you're not seeing in the practices so far this spring?
Say that one again.
What will you be able to see in game situations that you don't see in practice situations, as far as the quarterbacks are concerned?
I don't know. Because they do a lot of game situations in practice. Hey, you can run the drills and run the drills, and they have a lot of drills that they run all the time, but there's still things that they still break it down where you're still facing a defense in practice. The biggest difference on Saturday, they'll be doing it in front of a crowd. And the biggest difference on Saturday is they'll be doing it without a net. How about that? You're doing it without a net. And because you are, because you can't have, for example, a coach standing next to you during the course of the game. Just can't. Well, this is going to be an opportunity also at the same time for them to develop their communication between booth and field. That's another part, too, about this that's going to be different. CBS News, top of the hour, followed by Sarah Bartlett and your calls next hour on WKOK.